Essay 17. On the far left edge of the little lot I park in for my walk is a sweet gum tree, maybe 15 feet in height and spread. You don't notice it much most of the year, but in the fall it flares up like a little reddish sun, leaf tips fringed with yellow, prickling out with spikes of light every which way. You almost can't take your eyes off it. I see it every day, of course, but today I noticed it was finally giving up its halo of leaves, leaving big bald patches here and there. I decided to go over to it for a closer look, a way of saying, "Good job, see you next year." To my astonishment, I could see immediately that it was not one tree, but three, close together, merging their canopies in a smooth, seamless collaboration of color. I walked closer, up to the top of the berm that separates the lot from the woods. Just dirt piled maybe 4 feet high, as if it were plowed up there when the lot was paved. I had always imagined that the area on its other side was a kind of saucer-shaped scoop in the landscape, probably swampy, with whatever water it accumulated and could not discharge. The little tips of things poking up above that berm had a kind of sedgy look about them, enhancing that swampy impression when viewed from the lot. When I got over the top of the burn, I was once again astonished. It was nothing like that on the other side. There were, in fact, 10 or more sweet gum trees scattered around in a dry, serene-looking meadow of grass, now flattened down brown with the weight of the season. These trees were smaller than the one I always noticed, but still 6 to 10 feet tall. I imagine that scene, a few years from now, all those fall-fanned forges flaring up, tall enough to be visible from the lot, mounds of red merging into one billowing mass, like the three trees I realized today were not one. Since I was already heading that way, I started up the hill in the opposite direction I've been going lately. Maybe that's why most of what I ended up thinking today was opposites. How so much of my life has been on the opposite side of trends, uphill. I'm not what I would call an instinctive contrarian, in the vein of those Christopher Hitchens was trying to talk about in that ludicrously self-satisfied book that came out about 25 years ago. I think I'm more just an underdog rooter, wanting the one the money is against to win out in the end. I've been on the losing end of a lot of battles over the years, but felt the good fight made a significant difference in any case. Or, when it didn't, was fun. Deep down, I always believe I will be vindicated in the long run, even if the long run runs past my run. It's just the way I am, out of hopeful green stuff woven, as Whitman would say. As I came around the other side of the road toward the lot again, the very bright sun was just about eye level ahead of me, streaming in through the empty frames of the trees. It surprised me. I normally have it at my back when I'm going through this, my favorite stretch of the woods. I had to look down and squint most of the way. Rather than be irritated by this, I decided to think of it as an instance of going toward the light, which I'm trying mightily to do on my way through the valley of the shadow of death I ended up in last winter. I suddenly remembered a vivid dream I had about 30 years ago. In this dream, I had just died, the only time I've ever not escaped my own death in a dream. All that was left of me was a small, delicate bird, porcelain white all over, glossy, smooth, a nice aerodynamic shape, like a combination of a swallow and a dove, flapping up into an infinity of velvety pitch blackness. This little bird, me, what was left of me, wavered a bit, like a fledgling in first flight. Then it noticed a pinprick of light far, far off in the distance. With no other navigational points to orient its flight, it started off in that direction. Slowly, that dot of light got bigger and bigger, brighter and brighter. It was mesmerizing, like the sweet gum tree. The bird got closer and closer until it could hear a low choral singing sound, more like a rich, deep hum than a song. No words, just a plenitude of voices, harmonious together. At that point, another voice said to it, "You have a choice now. You can keep flying out here and stay who you are, what you are, yourself, your memories, all of it. Or you can enter that light, in which case your individual identity will dissolve into that vast singing light you see." They were presented as equal and equally good options. It was a simple choice for the bird, for me. That light was so beautiful, so serene, exactly the place and way I'd like to spend eternity. And as a bonus, I would get to escape from my individual history, my identity, all of the obsessions, digressions, explorations, this desire to find something, figure something out, anything, some fixed point I could stand on, speak from, or at least hold ground in a losing game. That dynamic driving force that through the green fuse drives my flower. Others' words pouring in, mine pouring out, these essays, for example, day after day, saying everything I think and going nowhere. And above all, I thought today I would get to erase the horrific images I have in my head from the day Carol died, haunting every second of every minute of every hour of every day I have to spend here now. All of it gone, just like that. That's the deal I'll take if it's offered, for sure. I had a number of very unusual spiritual experiences, dreams, insights, actual voices during my time with Carol. She drew in those kinds of forces for some reason. Most of them I have never mentioned to anyone and probably never will. The summative effect of them, though, as I said a few essays back, has been to convince me, down to my shoes, that the various scenarios humanity has created to account for the transcendent images of gods or God, heaven, hell, all of it, cannot possibly be true. It's like what I thought was over the berm behind that sweet gum tree. Wrong. It was way more interesting. And better. I won't even bother, don't even want to argue with anybody about any of this. All I know is that today I want to believe I actually will get to make the choice that little bird got to make. I can understand fully why someone else might say, "No way, I'm staying me, I'll keep flying." Not me. I'm taking the light.